What's up, guys? Welcome to another episode of the Jiu-Jitsu Junction podcast. My name is Andre, and I'm here with my buddy Chase. And the main topic today is how we can use jiu-jitsu, or how to maximize our knowledge of jiu-jitsu for self-defense purposes.
I love it. This is have a couple of those go to when I'm trying to sell, you know, jiu-jitsu to somebody. I'm really trying to, and I talk to a mom, or I talk to a dad, and they have a daughter, you know, and talk to a kid, you know, a mom and a dad, and just like, you know, I recommend for self-defense purposes, every female, jiu-jitsu is going to teach you how to get someone from on top of you, off of you, and it is going to teach you how to get someone out from between your legs. And those are, you know, self-defense for females is probably two of the most important, to get someone off top of you and to get someone out from between your legs. So that's kind of my first little tier I do. Like, and usually, you know, they're like, yeah, you're right. And I'm like, yeah, that's where I would start. Like, even if it's just for that, you know, mom, I would recommend taking, we have a beginner jiu-jitsu class. You know, it's really going to, you know, that's what I would use. I know you don't want to compete and stuff, you know, but that would be the value that you could get out of it.
Yeah, for sure. And it's not really just for females for the self-defense.
No, that's just my really quick one, you know, that I kind
of
go to.
Because most of the time when you're talking to parents and you're talking to a mom, when you're talking about signing up kids for jiu-jitsu or any martial art, really, you're talking to the mom. So that's very, it's a good way to approach it. But I've seen it show up more frequently with boys on playgrounds and in public areas. Like, my kid, when he was like 4 or 5 years old, he got attacked by like a 7 or an 8 year old. Like, and I could not get there very fast because it was in one of those like indoor playgrounds, and he was up at the top, and he was, and I hear him like scream cry, and I look up, and then there's this kid who's just slapping the crap out of him. And then he arm drags that 7 or 8 year old as a 4 or 5 year old, gets to his back, walks in a rear naked choke, gets his boots in, and he just holds it there and cries until I get there. And then he had the same thing happen at like a birthday party with a little shithead kid, and he double legged him, and then he took the back, and he was able to stay safe until I got there. And like, My kid's not very confrontational. He's like a people pleaser, and it's kept him safe several times when I couldn't be there. And just even kids aside, like, it doesn't happen as often for adults, but when it happens for adults, it's far more serious.
Yeah.
You know, so there are tons of different bits of jiu-jitsu that are really good for self-defense and some that aren't. So I kind of want to go over like the idea of, is jiu-jitsu enough, and what parts of jiu-jitsu do the best job of making sure that we're capable of defending ourselves?
Well, there's definitely tiers. And I know that the traditional, like the original Gracie system had a set of those self-defense takedowns and stuff that you learn through. But I have the opportunity to teach a lot of times at Krav Maga schools, which is, you know, man, their main focus is self-defense. Their main focus is the violent attacker, the attacker that's going to get you, you know. So it's a real, you know, in the places that you see a lot, maybe you have fell down. You are on your back. Someone is over top of you. So those kind of grabbing the heels, feet and hip, behind the knees, those type of sweeps. Sweeps, that's a position. I think somebody falls down on top of you, you know, being able to get them to close guard and hold them tight, you know, maybe position number two. This is where we're at right now, right? Kind of going through. Yeah. I think it would be and, you know, we're talking self-defense. It's some of the visceral responses. Obviously, like, you don't have to get into the response from a triangle to an armbar, you know, but you need the visceral response where, like, and I love it. That's how we teach, because we relate everything to MMA, which is a fight, which I believe, sorry, little self pitch, but I believe that's why our jiu-jitsu is the closest to self-defense, because everything we do is for fighting. You know, even if we're pulling you into our closed guard, we're pulling you into our closed guard to hold you tight so you pull away so we can follow you up and get on, you know, so we can follow. We're not going to try to hold a triangle and, you know, try to set up an arm bar there. You know, it's really going to be self-defense fighting oriented where it's like, oh, you're on top of me. I want to get you off of on top of me and I want to get back on top of you.
Yeah, for sure. Training jiu-jitsu like it's fighting is a really good way to make sure that it maps onto self-defense. It's actually something that Henry, who's been on the podcast before, talked about. He was like, I can't wait for it.
I wish I could do it like Carrie.
Yeah, if Carrie could do it, that would be even better. Maybe we'll like put that as like a little sound bite. It's just Carrie going.
It would be great.
Sorry, Henry. Anyway. So like he talks about like at least, you know, once a week roll as if you're getting punched. It's a really good frame of mind.
And our instructor, if you like when it comes time for you to get a black belt, you know, he will ask you to come in. It won't have to be a lot, but you'll have to come in and you'll just have to hold your own one day with MMA gloves on in the grappling part of MMA. He wants to see it. He wants to make sure that your jiu-jitsu is going to map over to a fight. And I couldn't respect it, you know, in that sense more than anything. Man, I've watched guys that are really good get punched one time and all that jiu-jitsu goes away. Their arms go straight and they lay flat, you know, so that's a...
Yeah. Every punch drops you a belt level.
Oh, man, yeah.
But so, yeah, I just remember, like, one of the smaller guys was doing grappling with gloves on, and I happened to be there early, and he was like, you want to get a round in? I'm like, oh, this should be interesting. The fucker is like 70 pounds lighter than me, and he's just lighting me up with these little demonstrative punches, like, and I'm just like, damn it. Stop hitting yourself. It felt so stupid, and I was like, oh, I really, really need to focus on being able to sweep under pressure.
Yep.
And it made it real for me, and if I'm on my back, you better believe that if I'm getting punched, I at least know what to do now.
Yeah.
So when you're training jiu-jitsu, if it's for self-defense, think about it as self-defense. And there's a lot more emphasis on sport jiu-jitsu now. And, you know, there's pros and cons to that because people are training harder and they're making it more like wrestling training in jiu-jitsu.
I just had a conversation with one of our ladies yesterday there, and she was like, people keep getting kimuras, whether it's from guard or from half guard. And she was like, I just can't stop it. And I'm like, well, what are you doing? She kind of looked at me, and I was like, it's jiu-jitsu. She looked at me again. The whole group looked at me. I'm like, well, if it's jiu-jitsu, the person's bigger and stronger than you. You can't stop what they want to do. And she just kind of, boom. You know, and I was like, well, why am I trying to stop the kimura? I go with big, strong guys. I can't stop the kimura. I'm either going to pass and go armbar, or I'm going to pass and take the back. And he just, like, opened her eyes. But that's her original base of jiu-jitsu came from a place that is a sport jiu-jitsu place.
Yeah,
they are, and when you go sport jiu-jitsu, there are weight classes for the most part. There isn't, but we've seen in the past handful of years, Absolute ends up being just the biggest guy again,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
The big. So it's not even like a Absolute. It's turned into where it's strictly weight class because they've turned it to wrestling. They turned it to point derived. So it's like I felt bad because she's tiny. She's 115 pounds maybe.
And she's still got a stronger core than most of us 200-pound guys.
No question. She's very, very good, you know. But it was just like you've seen the little light bulb in her head. And it was like, yeah, listen, if it's jiu-jitsu, they are bigger and stronger than me. Yeah.
So. Yeah. So like roll with that frame of mind, right? Yeah. Like, and I guess the other thing is that when rubber's meeting the road, you need to be giving it 100% effort, and most jiu-jitsu training, not 100% effort. So you need to get some reps under extremely high stress conditions.
And you can always find that. You can ask. You ask your training partner. Somebody, I promise, is 100% willing to try to give it to you.
Yeah.
You know, so that's definitely somebody's ready to try to give it to you.
All right.
So we said what? That closed guard. We talked about the on your back, feeding the hips. you know, most jiu-jitsu has your baseline takedown defense. I don't necessarily know if for self-defense takedown is needed, because self-defense, takedown is offense, and I know the best defense is a good offense, whatever, but if you're learning a takedown, that might be a little forward. So it would be the takedown defense stuff, the sprawling from someone trying to tackle you. So it would be probably a sprawl, and I would learn a good guillotine.
Duck under.
Oh, duck unders to the back.
Duck under. That's what my kid used to keep himself safe.
It would be twice. From a tackle would be a sprawl, and then from somebody trying to grab your body, a duck under.
Yeah. So that's what I saw happen once in real time.
So I would say an upper body takedown?
Also you could body lock, keep it really simple. Because when you're under stress, you need simple.
Yeah.
Right? So we don't have to go through a list of techniques necessarily, but have a way to lock up someone's upper body, have a way to get out from under somebody, have a way to reverse the situation when you're standing. You know, you need to get to a place where you're safe as soon as possible. And you're pretty safe if you body lock someone from the front, you plaster your head against their chest, they're not going to be able to hit you with a whole bunch of force. It's really uncomfortable, but safer, right? The other thing I would like to talk about is what kind of complementary activities we should do to kind of up our safety if we're in a self-defense situation with jiu-jitsu. And one of the first things that you go to is, how much striking knowledge do you need?
We're talking about self-defense, so it's hard for me to say that you need to learn how to throw a 1-1-2. I think you need to learn how to catch punches and block punches. How to slip punches and roll punches. I think those are good basic skills. And you could go to a trainer. You could go to a boxing trainer and be like, hey, you know, I'm really working on self-defense. Could we work on me dealing with punches? So that would be the level of striking that you would need is dealing with punches. Because if I wanted to take someone down, I could say right hand to their face and go to a body lock. But I could also just done the same thing. Yeah. You blinked your hat and I went to a body lock. So in that situation, it doesn't have – in a wrestling match, I can't just do that to you. But in open public, if you're arguing, I put my hands to your eye, done it again, and you know I'm going to do it. So you don't have to know how to throw a right hand to get close to someone. But I think that if – oh, there.
So for people who are not watching on video, he's just putting his hand in front of my face and making me flinch. Right. And that's enough. That gives you your opportunity. Right. They flinch back. You have all in a fight, 1 second is all the time in the world.
Yep.
You can get to your duck under in a second.
But I would definitely learn how to deal with punches. A Jimmo MMA template shell. Sorry, wait.
Is that different?
So 100%. So
I don't know anything about striking.
No. Okay. So the reason why our system kind of relates to that fighting a little more is we don't do our Muay Thai isn't for Muay Thai. We shape our Muay Thai onto our shell, which is an MMA template. Because if we took Muay Thai structure and stance to a fight, we're getting tackled because our feet are too close together and we're too tall.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's all. That's the translation over to self defense. There, that's why everything we have has a view. With jiu-jitsu, it's the same way. We wouldn't do a lot of our arm bars aren't from flat on your back holding somebody because what's happening?
Yeah,
you're being punched. Yeah, so okay. That's the
cool. Yeah. So learn how to shell up, MMA style, I guess. Some of the other things that are a lot more approachable for people who might not have access to good MMA training, which there's a lot of places in the country where that's not accessible. Get strong as you can. That helps a lot. I mean, anytime you get grabbed by somebody clearly stronger than you, it feels really crappy.
Yeah.
You can also be that person.
Better believe it. Yeah. Yep.
So get strong, get fit.
Worst case, you can run.
Yeah.
Further.
That is
faster.
Number one. That is my number one response. Unless I have to defend my child, I am booking it.
Well, so that's one. I hope that it get enough self defense so your first response is neutral. Because often in a self-defense, in an actual violent environment, if you turn and run, I grow. And then I turn from thinking, from sizing you up, to now you are prey. as primal as it can be. So I worry with the run. I mean, unless you're fucking fast, you know. Well, but
you run, you backpedal first.
Yeah, but I, and then that's where I know I'm combating you right now. But it would be, I take a step back, I clear space, but I do not retreat, because if it is a self defense, every posture, every interaction matters in that self defense and that high interaction. Like I take too far, and that's from bouncing. You know, if I back up too much, you grow too much, and then I can't. Then you think you can do it. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, a lot of that situation is about having that confidence to stand your ground. But, you know, it's okay. I know you're not moving forward, but I'm not moving backwards. Sorry. That would be my goal, right, is to have the confidence from your BJJ, from your self-defense to stand your ground and not retreat, so to speak. You know?
Yeah, there's definitely a way to retreat.
Yeah.
And it is not turning your back and booking it.
Yeah, and it would be funny,
that's true. 100%. And there's a whole rabbit hole for that.
Yeah, I just about went down it, because that was from bouncing. Like, it's some, if you talk to any really, you know, any of the old time bouncers, that's kind of the lessons they talk to you about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. So get strong, get fit, be willing to retreat, but you have to be mindful about it. That's a little bit beyond the scope of what we're talking about here. Yeah. But don't become a victim in the way that your body language is, and that'll be enough. Other grappling martial arts, judo or wrestling.
Right? How bad would it be if you went to the bar one time a year, and then you happen to grab a hold of a guy, like you happen to talk junk, you're standing in front of a guy and you're chest to chest, and then he just wow, wow.
Oh my god. So I don't know how many of you guys have experience getting thrown by a real judo black belt, but it's very humbling, like in a way that nobody else has humbled me before.
I'm about to go red for him.
and like judo like maps really well onto like walls and crowded environments.
Yeah,
so like
in the general posture, chest to chest, it's just like you're serving your body up,
yeah,
to be thrown.
Oh my god. Just imagine going chest to chest with Seki and not just
pick, like, what, bro? What?
But yeah, so like adding, if you have the ability to get even a little bit of training in one of the standing martial arts, that's going to be very helpful for you.
Yeah.
So like luckily, you know, we're training at an MMA gym, so we have plenty of standing opportunities and plenty of very high levels of skill in standing martial arts. So like just picking like one technique and then having a general awareness of what's going on when you're standing is going to put you ahead of any meathead that's coming after you for no reason.
No question.
So yeah, I mean, there are things we can do, things we can add on, add the strength, add the fitness, add some stand up capabilities, understand how to show up, and at least some of the time roll hard, and at least some of the time roll as if someone is clocking you in the face.
Yep.
And, you know, that's enough to really, like, you don't need to add a ton to a sport jiu-jitsu or a traditional jiu-jitsu template to make it very useful for you in a self-defense situation.
No question. Yeah.
But there are things you need to add on. Like, it, by itself, sport jiu-jitsu won't be enough.
Yeah.
Nope. So keep that in mind.
Yeah. Yeah, you're going to sport jiu-jitsu. Somebody's going to take you down. You're going to do this to make sure they don't score a point. Don't score point on me.
He's just covering his neck and face. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, hopefully this was helpful for you. Tack on the things that you need to tack on to. Mm-hmm. If self-defense is your major goal, you need to add on that little bit of extra to make it map onto the self-defense thing.
Yeah.
So anyway, hope you found that helpful, and we will see you in the next episode.